Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. I'm so excited for my guest today. It's Vanessa Bayer. Of course, you know her from SNL. She's on the Showtime show, I Love That For You, which I'm on the edge of my seat hoping that we're getting the second season. I need the second season. Also, Vanessa has a podcast called How Did We Get Weird. Vanessa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm so excited to talk to you. I don't know if you know this, but we grew up in this similar area. I'm from Solon, Ohio, and you're from Orange?
Yeah, I went to Orange. I'm from like Chagrin Falls area.
Chagrin Falls is right near where I grew up. And I actually met when I was in high school, Molly Shannon in Chagrin Falls.
Oh my God.
Molly's from Shaker High, and I know you co-star with her, and I love that for you.
Yeah, it's so crazy to do the show with her because even though we were both on SNL, we were never on at the same time. So now getting to work with her is so fun. And we're like, we both know, like, you know, Beachwood Place. We love Tommy's. She used to work at Tommy's. Tommy's is like my favorite restaurant in Cleveland. And I talk about it all the time. And they're very nice to me there. But like, she knows Tommy. I spent a long time in that one place, but we know all the same places. And it's so funny. And now I know you do too.
It's so wild. And I remember my friend worked at the popcorn shop in Chagrin Falls. And I know we're getting really insular here. So listeners are probably like, what the fuck are you talking about? But there was this in Chagrin Falls, this
still
shop
there.
That sold popcorn. Yeah, still there. And my friend knew I was like obsessed with Molly Shannon in high school and was like, Molly's in Chagrin Falls, come. So I like grabbed the car keys for my parents. I was 16 years old, never drove that recklessly in my whole life. Picked up a friend. We go to Chagrin Falls and then we're like looking, where did she go? And come to find out she was eating dinner at this restaurant with, I believe her now husband, but, she was like, we didn't want to bug her. And the host was like, oh, well, why don't you guys wait outside? And then you could say hi afterwards. Molly would love to do that or something. She had known Molly or something. Anyway, so we waited and then Molly, while we waited, went back to the popcorn shop, like bought her presents or got her presents, probably stole from the popcorn shop because my friend was working and like wrote these notes. And then Molly was so nice. She took pictures. I have pictures of me in high school doing the superstar pose. It meant the world to me.
You know, what's so funny is that I have, when I was a camp counselor in like near Canton, Ohio, I had a camper who said she was cousins with Molly. And so we would have, like, I have a photo of her like doing the superstar pose and we were all like so excited about it. And then when I started doing the show with Molly, I was like, I think I had your camper. And then I showed her a picture, you know, from when I was a camp counselor. And Molly was like, I've never seen that girl before in my life. So we like all the whole time I was at camp, we were like so starstruck by this camper. And come to find out, she just maybe made it up. I still want to get to the bottom of it.
Well, there's this thing in Ohio, and I'm so fascinated by what your history is with this, but it's like there's no access in Northeast Ohio to like celebrity. And so
Right.
It was such a huge deal that Molly was like sort of from a nearby town. And I remember this girl who I went to middle school with, she like went away to a camp and Mandy Moore was like at the camp with her right before. And this girl was like a celebrity herself in middle school because she tangentially
everyone who went to Stage Door. Right. And then they met Natalie Portman.
Right. Anyway, I just love to see Ohio people succeed. And
I can't believe you're from Solon. I was just talking to my parents about Miles Market and how, remember they used to give away free coffee?
Yeah. Yeah. When I was researching for this interview, I saw you, on a WKYC interview and you were talking about Heinen's and I was like, oh my God.
Oh Heinen's. Yeah. Ugh, what a day to just hang out in Heinen's grocery store.
So tell me about I Love That For You. Are we getting a season two? I had Matt Rogers on sort of recently and he said there's a season two written.
So yes.
What is happening?
We're still waiting to hear, but I feel very hopeful that truly that's the truth is like, we still don't know. But I feel very hopeful. We do have a second season written. So fingers crossed. I'm sorry. Okay. I don't have more of an answer for you. Like, no, I know people okay. come here for like the dish.
No, but I feel like it's a good sign because there was some change in Showtime leadership and they yeah. did cancel a few shows.
Yes.
And not your show. So I'm assuming that was good news.
Exactly. We're, you know, sad to like see that these other shows got canceled, but then also it's like, you know, it seems like they still haven't done that to us. So we're feeling, you know, positive about that.
Is there anything you can spoil about a season two of I Love That For You?
You know, I can't really spoil anything, but I will say look forward to, you know, we've got a lot more fun stuff going on with all the characters. And we just got so lucky because, you know, not only are our writers so talented, but our cast is just so funny and they're all so unique. And we just, now that we like sort of know more about them, like we know them as people better and like kind of where and how they shine, it's really fun. We've been able to really take advantage of that, I think, in the scripts.
switching gears a little bit. We're recording this right before Super Bowl weekend, and there's this clip that pops up all the time in regards to football of you and the Tatina's Pizza sketch. It's so fucking funny. Is there anything that sort of sticks out to the making of that sketch? For those that aren't familiar, it's you're making Tatina's Pizza Roast for your hungry guys. It's sort of a parody of a typical Tatina's Pizza commercial. And Kristen Stewart comes by the house and you have this very this love affair happening behind the guys who are watching football. And it's so fucking funny.
Yeah, well, we got to do three seasons in a row. We got to do like Super Bowl Totino's commercials, which is pretty rare. Like they let you do that and that they get in every time kind of because so much stuff gets cut from the show. So many sketches don't make it in. But the first time we did it, it was like an ad for this Totino's like women's activity pack. So women would have like little games to play while their hungry guys are watching the game. And so we did that, and that was it was with Chris Kelly and Sarah Schneider, all three of them, but all three of the commercials we did. So the first time was the women's activity pack, and that was really fun. And then the next year we did one that was for the new season of the X-Files. Like it's for Totino's, but it gets haunted. And so that's kind of how it gets like scary. And all the men's eyes turn like completely black. You know, they have like no whites in their eyes and it's scary at the end. And then the third one, we thought like this poor woman has no, she's never had like a real win. So we wanted her to have a win. And so the third one with Kristen Stewart is that she meets this other woman who's there with her, you know, hungry guy, and, they fall in love. And it was so fun to do it because, I do really think it's my favorite one because it's, the guys are just having a blast. We're right behind them and we're like fully making out and they have no idea what's going on behind them. It's really fun.
It's so funny. And also just so true of it, outside of that part of the sketch, it's like so true to those Totino's commercials, like the way you're playing it. It's so good. And I feel like I see it on Twitter all the time and it's just, oh, it will live so on nice. Forever.
Just all those snack commercials, especially around the Super Bowl, where it's just like a woman who's got to feed all the guys.
Right. All the hungry guys. Like, oh God. You know, I had tweeted something about Kudos bars. And do you remember those? And somebody,
my brother and I were talking about this on our podcast. It's so funny that that's what they're called.
Because they were granola bars.
Because it's sort of like a sophisticated name for a kid's snack to call them Kudos. Like very totally. Kind of upscale. Yeah, but we loved Kudos. And they had Kudos. I don't know if you remember, some of the Kudos had like M&Ms in them and stuff.
Yeah, they had an M&Ms one, a Snickers one, and I think there was like a Dove chocolate one. I mean, they were were candy bars, but they were
candy
healthy.
Granola bars. Do they still make them? I don't think so. I think we looked this up. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's devastating.
But they were pretty delicious granola bars, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, it was basically a Snickers bar, but I really thought they were healthy. I mean, the 90s foods, I feel like we were all bamboozled by a little bit because anything in a green box I thought was healthy. Like the Snackwell stuff. Do you remember those?
Yes. This is truly. So my brother and I have this nostalgic podcast, which and it's called I Love That. Sorry, it's not called I Love That For You. It's called How Did We Get Weird? I'm getting my projects mixed up. But sorry to be like plugging. But
no, that's why I brought it up. Yeah.
Okay. Great. But we talk about a lot of these snacks. And you know, the thing that we found that's really funny is that a lot of the discontinued like 90s snacks, there's change.org pages where people petition to get them brought back. And sometimes it works. Like it really probably is not what change.org was going for when they created that site. But you know, they're probably thinking more like social issues and stuff would get petitioned. But you know, a lot of snacks have made it back that way. But I still, you know, I think they still sell Snackwells. And God, I loved those. I loved that one that was like kind of dry chocolate with like chocolate around it.
Wait,
you know what I mean? There was like
a
chocolate.
Snackwell?
Yeah, there was like a chocolate cookie that was like dry chocolate cake with like sort of a hard chocolate.
Devil's
coding
food. It was like a devil's food.
Yeah, the devil's food one. I loved. And then I also loved the ones that were sort of like Oreos, but they were like vanilla with cream in the middle. I mean, they're all, I think that it's like so 90s. It's like they probably all had like 0 to 1 gram of fat, but like a million calories in them. But we were like, no grams of fat. That's it.
Remember? They made everything with Olestra, which like made you violently
shit. Oh my
shit,
God.
But it was like,
the
oh,
thing
no calories.
That I miss, you know, sometimes people don't know what I'm talking about. And I'm like, how did you miss this? I miss Wow Chips with Olestra because they were so good. And so maybe, you know, you have diarrhea for a day or two. It's worth it. It's like, I don't know. I always felt like it was. I love those chips. It felt like such a, and wasn't the thing with them was that the, like the fat molecules in them were too big for your body to digest. And that's why they tasted really good because they had all this fat and stuff in them. But then your body couldn't digest it. So you just like basically, you know, it would just come out in the toilet. But it's like, I don't know. I loved those
chips. But they did taste good.
They tasted so good. And I think you can still find them in like Canada or something. I've definitely done research on this because I was like, I got to get these back.
See, I always think of them as like they're hitting the market very hard and then fizzling out. Like, because I do remember getting them being amazed. Like,
yes, they fizzled out so fast. Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, a lot of those snacks came and went. 90s were wild. Yes. I want to pivot a little bit to Housewives. I know you are a Housewives fan. Salt Lake
Huge
City,
fan.
Did you? Everyone is going to want to hear your Lisa Barlow impression. So I suppose my number one question is like, can you give me a little Away in a Manger as Lisa Barlow?
Okay. Okay, I have to get back into it. Sometimes I have to watch her before I do it because I sort of forget exactly where she is. Totally, not to sound gross, but she's like, I feel like Away in a Manger was like, Away in a Manger. And how does it go? It's
no crib for a bed.
Oh, yeah. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The angel that sings and sings. I'm making up the words.
I love it. No, it's a remix. She also revealed at the reading that she's going to be doing like a 6-song EP or something.
Oh my God.
Like what?
She's the best. Who doesn't?
Who doesn't want a 6-song EP?
Who doesn't want a 6-song EP? I had a tough time because I, as we all did, you know, absolutely loved Heather. And I felt like she came at Whitney so hard. And then I wanted in the reunion for them to sort of make up. And it seems like they're very far from that.
Do you want Mary Cosby back or what do you want the cast to look like?
I think this is okay to say. I hope because I mean, unless I don't know if she listens to this or not, because I feel
it doesn't matter. Don't worry.
Okay,
don't be scared.
I feel scared of her.
Yeah, so. I get that.
So I don't know. I didn't. I heard she's coming back as a friend of. Is that right?
That's the rumor. Yes, that she'll be back in a limited capacity.
Yeah, I feel like as a friend of, maybe that's okay. It's just the thing with Salt Lake that's so frustrating is that like. They come down on sort of the wrong people. Like people can commit such huge crimes. And I'm not saying that Mary Cosby necessarily committed a crime, but it's sort of like, given the things that are like the rumors that are kind of going around about her, the way that she's so like, she and Jen, like who I love Jen. I think she's has such a great personality, but the way that they're like just sort of that there's, well, I guess I shouldn't even say that because it seems like she's done such horrible things and there's so many victims. You're right. You're right. But the thing is, like, they don't go after anyone in Salt Lake City in a way that you're like, what? Like, it's more important for them to be like loyal to Jen and to Mary Cosby than it is to be like,
side of history.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they'll go so hard after, like, Whitney, you started a rumor. It's like, well, she didn't rip off like
a bunch of elderly,
all these elderly people. She just, maybe she like said something out of turn. It's so crazy to me. And you know that that stuff just like would not fly in other franchises. And it's frustrating to watch because you're like, Heather, what are you doing? What's going on here? Why do you feel like you have to be so loyal to these people that are like ruining people's lives?
Yeah, I feel like there must be something behind it. You know, one of the most fascinating things is in Heather's book, she talks about one of the, I don't remember if it was the time she met Jen Shah or one of the times when she first met Jen Shah, but they go out and Heather's like flirting with this guy and Jen, she presents the story as if it was like Jen protecting her, but Jen comes over and takes photos of this guy's ID and then tells Heather, like, leave me on the phone. Like, if you're, I want to make sure this guy treats you right. So leave me on the phone. It's like this craziest story that I feel like nobody's talking about, but it was essentially like Jen collecting data on this guy, which she's going away to prison for, but it's presented in the book as like, oh, look at, I just met this girl and she was protecting me from like
that's
a potential bad date or something. I was like, that's fucked up.
That's so weird. And yeah, it's just Heather defending. Also, I have to say her book, it was so Real Housewives and so funny that she had a party for the cover of her book.
That wasn't even done or out
that
yet.
Wasn't even done yet. Also, like, I don't know, for me, like, if I'm working on anything before it's done, I'm like, I don't want to like be talking about it at all. Cause I'm like, I just hope this thing gets like the confidence to be like, I haven't even written it yet, but I'm going to have a party for the covers. Like, it's so they had funny that she did that
giant poster of the book. Yeah. And no book was existing at that point. It was just a giant cover.
It was so funny, but like, yeah, it's just, explaining someone's bad behavior like it's positive.
Ugh. Wait, so you do this wonderful impression of Lisa Barlow. Do you do Meredith at all? I feel like she's so...
Oh my God. I find Meredith to be so hard because her voice is always changing. Mm-hmm. I'll try to do... I can do Whitney. I can do Whitney, but it's hard. Like Whitney's just like, I'm sick of people saying that I'm a swinger. That's from the first season when she was talking about a swinger. She talks about now she's like,
on her healing
I'm
journey.
Trying to do my healing journey. And if these girls can't handle it, then it's not for me. Like I have to heal. But Meredith's so hard. I tried to do it once on Bitch Sesh. It's sort of like, she's sort of like, I think it's inappropriate. I don't know. She's really hard. She's really, really hard because her voice truly changes all the time, I think.
Right, right.
And but she pronounces words like she just picks. She's like, I'm not going to go with the pronunciation that's standard.
I know. Her sister's name is like Mayor, and she kept calling her like Mayor. She kept it Mayor. Like the way she was saying it was so strange to me.
Yeah.
And it was like, then they would show the name on the screen and it was like just... Melanie or something. And I was like, why are you saying it like Mayor?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, it's like a mix of like pick any pronunciation she wants. And also she always has like a little bit of a, like she's chewing on something sound or something.
It always sounds sponsored by Franzia, like a box wine. Like that's, do you dip into Jersey?
Okay. Well, I missed a season or two because I was finding it to be so sad with like the Melissa and Teresa stuff. But I watched the premiere of the new season because I thought I got to get back in. And I really enjoyed it. Sometimes I get depressed from Jersey because, like I just said, I'm repeating myself because sometimes it gets so dark and it's like, I don't know. Jersey, so I don't know.
Yeah, and I think it's hard because they're family, so there's like
yes, that's what it is.
Darkness to something. I feel that way with Beverly Hills too. And when we get in the things with like Kyle and Kath and Kim, I'm like, okay,
yes,
this is real life. And then you're looking at it from behind the scenes angle of like, oh fuck, like they're doing all of this. They're ruining their families for a TV show. And that's something sad about that.
Exactly. I think that's exactly right. Cause even with like, with Salt, like you're like sad when they get in, like when, you know, I guess Whitney and Heather are technically cousins or something, but it doesn't feel like a real, you know, it's like, even when these women get in fights, you're like, well, they don't really know each other. It's fine. But when it's family, it feels so dark. It feels so sad.
Who is your, do you have a favorite housewife of all the women, of all the gals?
Of all of them?
Yeah.
I really do think that Candace is so funny.
She's really good. She's so quick.
She's so quick. She really makes me laugh. I think she's like genuinely talented. I think she's a really good singer. I like her songs. I think she's so beautiful. And I do think that she is so, so funny. Yeah. So Candace is like the first one that came to my mind. But
Candace had a stellar season. I feel like she just had, she was on top this year. And it was great to see.
She really was able, it seemed like at the beginning of the season, they were really, really trying to make the Chris stuff be a thing. And she really kind of stopped that from happening. And also, so did like the editors and stuff, because they fully showed, that was wild,
the best
wasn't
footage.
It?
The best footage.
Those women, was Mia and that other woman that
the Sesame
Candace,
Street.
Yes, kept calling Sesame Street, that like made claims, and then they showed those exact conversations and he's literally like looking at his phone and not talking to them. It was so crazy. I was so happy for Bravo too. I was like, good for you. Cause often they miss that stuff, you know, which how could you not? It's, you know, you can't be there all the time, but,
I think the instinct as a viewer is that they were going to flash back to footage and they'll find any footage to make Chris look like he was
flirting
with these women or something like that. So the fact that they did it and either they were combing through footage and realized like they literally have not even something usable. And so they're like, okay, we have to do the opposite end of that. But it was such a funny shift.
Yeah, I think Candace and Chris are such a great couple and I really root for them.
What do you think his capris? He wears capris a lot.
He wears a lot of capri pants. I don't know. I think Candace has such good style that I sort of am like, she probably has something to do with them. And so I don't think I have as good of style as her. So I don't think I can judge. Now, the style, for a lot of these housewives is so questionable. And I think I had to hear somebody point out to me Giselle's style, because Giselle is so like blindingly beautiful that you miss her style. And then the moments, I don't know who pointed it, the moment it was pointed out to me, I was like, oh my God, her style.
Yeah, it's shocking. It's shocking.
Yeah.
And then you start to realize it goes beyond just the outfits. It goes to the house and to the interior design.
Oh my God, the house.
It's rough.
It's so, rough. so rough.
What do you think of the Robin and Giselle of it all? Do you think there was this whole scandal with Robin and she revealed things behind a paywall of a Patreon? I don't think Andy was very happy about that.
I thought that Andy did a good job when he like sort of grilled her on Watch What Happens Live. I thought that he got like he clearly was mad and he like was respectful of her, but kind of wasn't letting her off the hook like easily. But I also I do think it's, and I love Robin. I think she's so like, I really root for her too, but it's tough. It's tough that like she waited and that she and Giselle kept that quiet. And then the Patreon thing, which I guess she was saying that the reason she revealed it on Patreon was because it had like come out already or something. But
then like real, then why didn't she just say it on her podcast? Like why make people pay for it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, smart business move. I'm sure she made thousands on that because.
Yes. Right.
Enough people probably paid the $5. I don't know how much it was, but.
Yeah, exactly. But Andy is the person who sort of, you know, has this show where he hired her to share her life is probably so mad, and I don't blame him. And she does have so many like loyal Bravo viewers that I'm sure are so mad,
myself included.
Yeah.
I worry about the credibility of Potomac because I've always loved Potomac, but I think between like the Rob and Giselle, that Patreon situation, and then Mia, who's just lies about everything on camera, but I love it. I enjoy Mia's lying, but it's like, we're kind of getting into the space where it's just becoming fiction.
The stuff with Mia and her friend though, her friend's
Jacqueline, name? Is it Jacqueline?
Jacqueline, I think.
Yeah.
That stuff to me is so sad. And I really feel, you can see that Jacqueline's trying to have them make up. And Mia's just sort of not having any part of it. Like, it's just sort of, it's crazy how mean Mia is being to her. And I obviously, you can never know like all the details, but it sort of feels like everything was fine with the two of them until Mia was on a reality show.
Right.
Which is sad. What was going on? Didn't they say after the finale, they were like, Mia's doing great. Her like health is great, but her finances are not as great because they're closing some of the like chiropractor offices. And I was like, what? What is this about?
I only saw sort of like headlines or something. I think there somebody like took the keys and bank books to the chiropractic places or something. And so forgive me, I didn't look into it. Like I saw a headline and then moved on. But I think someone like stole her business. Either stole them or like took over the deeds or like she lost the chiropractic businesses, some of them.
Have you ever gone to a chiropractor?
Yes, I have. And I don't know.
I've never done it. And I always am like, I should do that because I love like cracking my wrists and stuff. But chiropractor seems like such a big theme lately on Real Housewives in a way that I'm like, what's going on? Because remember, what's her name's husband was a chiropractor and she was so rich. And you were like, what is he charging per session?
Well, it's like how we go in these phases where we had like goat yoga on every show. And it's like right now, we must be in the chiropractic phase.
We're in the chiropractic phase. Yeah. But apparently, you know, it sounds like you're not sold on it. And neither is I've heard really mixed things, but it does seem like that's, you know, business isn't booming the way it once was, at least for Mia and Gordon.
No, I'm worried about them. But who knows what anything she says is true or what's the truth to any of it. But I like watching it in a way that most times when Housewives lie, I'm like, oh, they're lying too much or something. But for some reason, Mia is like able to sell me on it. I don't get why.
Yeah. I hear you. I feel like she is she is a good businesswoman, you know? Because she goes in there.
We have to draw the line there, Vanessa. We just talked about how she like lost all her businesses. And
right.
You know what? I know. Her.
We don't know why. And then I also really root for Ashley, but I'm like, first of all, I do feel like Ashley is so shady. Like she really stirs the pot. And I sort of have gotten my whole life. I've heard the thing of like, it's good to be financially like
independent
and understand your money. And like, I feel like my parents kind of instilled that in me and just like through school and stuff, I've just always kind of, but it is really, you see it with a lot of these housewives, but Ashley is like the most recent one where like, you could see like a few episodes ago where she was just like, you could tell that she like doesn't know at all how her money works and that the idea that she wasn't going to go in on a house with Michael was like, even when that woman, that lawyer is like, this is a bad idea, you could tell she was going to do it because I think she just doesn't understand her money. And it's sad because she seems like she's a really smart person, but she just never learned that stuff. And can't
Uncle Sam?
Uncle Bunk or Uncle?
Oh, her uncle, not the uncle, nation's.
Not the nation's uncle. Okay. Uncle Lump.
Oh, right. Lump. Yeah, Lumpy.
Can't Uncle Lump and her mom help with some of that stuff? Or Uncle Lump and his wife?
You know, I felt like the mom tried to in the finale say, like, this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
And kind of gave her that look. I don't know if she actually said it, but she did give a look that said 1,000 words over that FaceTime call where she's like, Ashley, what are you doing?
Yes. Oh my God. And now that I know you're from Cleveland, I can hear your Midwest accent and I love it. It's so great. I have it too.
We learned the money management in Ohio. They don't teach everyone.
We learned the money management in Ohio. We must have. Like I really feel for it. Cause in the previews for the reunion, doesn't she say like, the divorce settlement is not working out in my favor?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Which is all scary, troublesome. I mean, I feel like we're going to look back on this time and be like, Ashley, you were making such stupid decisions throughout your divorce.
Yeah. It's just, I'm surprised. It just feels like she has such a good job being on The Real Housewives that she doesn't have like a lawyer or somebody who could like help her with that stuff.
And I don't know if she has a good team of people behind her, but she's been on the show for so long. She should be making at least a decent paycheck. I know they don't pay housewives like a ton for their first season.
I want to know so badly what they make. I really have never been able to figure it out from like in a real way.
I think it's like 60K for their first season.
Okay.
And I remember there was like a legal situation with Gina from Orange County Housewives.
Okay.
And so it was revealed in some court documents. It might have even been less than that, but for some reason, 60K is sticky in my head.
Okay.
And so we're taking that as fact, but it's low for a whole season of reality TV where they're filming a lot. Like that's not much.
It's like once they've been on for several seasons, that's when they kind of start making money. But Ashley's been on for, I mean, how many seasons of Potomac have there even been?
I think it's like, are we in 7, 8?
Yeah.
I should know that too. But she's been on it long enough that her paycheck should be decent.
Yeah.
Not to mention, like, they get all those sponsorships. She's a big TikToker, so I'm sure there's gotta be some TikTok money.
Well, I hope Michael isn't like his put in the, you know, divorce settlement, like, I make X amount of dollars from your TikTok stuff. Like, I wouldn't put it past him. We obviously know he's the biggest villain.
One of the biggest villains.
There's so many.
We have to take a quick break here. We'll be back with so much more from Vanessa Bayer, including the Ashley and Luke from Summer House of It All. They have a dalliance that seems like it maybe was reheated recently, according to social media. So we're going to talk about that as well as so much more Bravo stuff. Please find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I want to thank Acast. I will be doing live shows, so come see me live if you're in Seattle, Denver, Colorado, or if you're in Salt Lake City, Utah. We're going to be recapping whatever Bravo's going on at the time. These shows are all in April, so we'll be covering all the Bravo stuff that's going on and just having a good time. So go to everythingiconic.com. At the top of the page, there's a live show link where you can get tickets, or just you could search Google, or I'll put the link in the episode description. Also, I mentioned this on the last episode of Everything Iconic, but there might be an episode or two of Everything Iconic that we missed because I'm having some very minor stomach surgery for some health stuff that I have going on. So I will be recovering over the next week or so, but I'll be back to the microphone as soon as I can. But in the meantime, I will be chilling in bed. I'm having the surgery as of this recording. I'm having it in a couple days. So everything should be fine, and it's all minor stuff. So thank you for understanding, and we'll be right back. Which she's with Luke now from Summer House. I don't know if you dip into those shows.
Oh, they're... I love Summer House.
Wait, are you attracted to Luke? Because he's kind of got that Midwest vibe to me. Like,
he really
you think
does.
He's Minnesota.
I mean, he's obviously very handsome. Some of his choices I feel like have been questionable. Like when he was not interested in that one woman, I'm going to be so general here. And
Anna,
if you can follow me, but that woman wanted to like have a relationship with him. He was not interested with her. And then he was like interested in this other woman who had a boyfriend instead, kind of.
Yeah.
I might be mixing up my storylines, but his decisions seem kind of questionable. And also it's really tough for me when he's like playing guitar by himself. I'm like, oh my God, this is the worst. Like just someone, it's like, cause you know, you're not by yourself. You're with a bunch of cameras. So like just him like going off and playing guitar, I'm always like, this absolutely makes me
want to hurl.
I just want to throw up. It's so lame.
I love watching people like, especially I think straight men when they're so good looking from such a young age, they just never have to develop any sort of personality.
You're absolutely right.
And so like his whole life, when he does in college, probably when he pulled out the guitar, everyone wanted to sleep with him. So they would be like, oh, you sound so good, probably. Or this is so great.
And also like he makes jewelry, right? So he's like forging jewelry. Then I'm like, I can't imagine this jewelry looks great, but like he's just
and people
probably everyone's
it.
Like, oh yeah. My God, a big like, you know, onyx star. Like this is perfect for me because you're so handsome. I'd love to just like spend, I don't even know how much it costs, but on like a big piece of metal.
There's this, I'm going to embarrass myself for a minute, but there was a post he did on, I don't remember if it was Instagram or TikTok or something, where he was cutting wood with an axe. And I looked at the comments and all the comments were like, lusting after him just because he's cutting this wood.
Yeah.
I've seen these guys do this because there's this really hot guy from that show, Sex Lives of College Girls, or
right. Yeah.
HBO show. And there's this really hot guy and he did the same thing recently. And I was like, oh, this is like a thing with these like hot straight men. They post them cutting wood. And I don't even think they actually cut wood probably in their real life all that much, but they post a video of it. And then the whole comment section is like lusting after them. And so it's this crazy sort of vicious cycle of now they're being, I don't know if I'm making any sense.
No, I know what you mean. I mean, I find like on dating apps, like I'm on Raya and I find that it's always these men are always like jumping off a cliff or they're like in the middle of the woods, like, yeah, like chopping wood or something. And like, you know, with a really enormous dog. And I'm like, this is hell. Like I, yeah.
It's like they're cosplaying or cosplaying. What's that word of like what they think a woman wants. And then there are people who do want that, but I don't feel I like they're actually rugged people. Or I don't think these guys are like that rugged version.
It's like, sold. What are you going to do? Are you going to start a fire with the wood? Like, why are you chopping into all this wood? I don't get it, but I love Summer House. And I did watch What Happens Live with Paige. They asked me like what I guess it must have been, I never have gotten to pick who I do watch What Happens Live with, but I've always loved whoever I was with. But like, I got to pick and I said I wanted to do it with Paige because I'm like, I really like Paige.
I did too. She's I did cool. too.
And what was my point? Oh, just that I'm a huge Summer House fan. And I really think it's one of the most, like, it just puts me at ease. I love watching it.
Yeah.
I think it's because they're not like selling stuff all the time. And so, I mean, I guess, yeah, I don't know.
There's we could tie this back to your podcast because I also think there's like a nostalgia element to Summer House or Winter House because of the overhead cameras. It feels very real worldy. Right. Like, right?
That's so funny. That's such a good point. Like, that's true.
Yeah,
it does feel really real worldy. And they're not making it in the way that housewives do. Like, it's like, you still kind of know them from Summer House. And I don't mean that as like a slight to any of them. I just mean it's kind of refreshing that like that's where you go to see them. You don't go to like, you know, I don't know. They don't have all these like side businesses aside from
Loverboy or whatever.
Loverboy.
Yeah. I think Paige could be like a huge superstar. And I've said this on my show and it's not always popular, but I just feel like she's got kind of like an it factor that not a lot of reality people have.
And when I did Watch What Happens Live with her, sorry to keep bragging about this, but her parents were there and I was like, you must be so proud. I don't know what I said. I wanted to just like, what are we doing after? I think they're excited for her. Like she's, I don't know. I just feel like I agree. I think she's got it factor.
You must be so proud of her laying in that bed on TV all day.
I always there's something when Paige and I'm blanking on her name when the one Italian guy would bring them coffee in bed, I was like, oh, they're having the best time.
I know, Andrea. I was upset because I just don't care for Craig anymore. I used to, and I turned on him. And so I was so upset because she had this gorgeous Italian man bringing her coffee and then she chose Craig. And I was like, what is this?
I know. Yeah, I know. It's tough. I mean, I I guess I missed the most recent season of Winter House. I try to keep up with Winter House too. So I missed a lot of the Craig stuff. Oh no, I missed Southern Charm, which Craig and Paige were on Southern Charm. So, but anyways,
much of us these days.
They're asking so much of us. I really do get stressed out. I'm like, oh my God, should I start watching Family Karma? I have to go to bed.
You really should start watching Family Karma. Number one. Is it great? It's like one of the best shows. Family Karma and Married to Medicine.
Well, that's the one that I keep hearing is so good is Married to Medicine. And I'm like, why? I think the reason I haven't started is because it's been on for so long. Could I start with a current season or would that be?
You could. To me, it's the most consistent show on Bravo. So there's never been a bad season.
Okay.
Even the pandemic season of Married to Medicine is great. Like the one they filmed in the pandemic. So it's always good. But really, I think you should start with season one just because it's always good. I think it's not one of those ones, in my opinion, that's starts off too slow or anything. Like,
right.
I just think it's always been good.
I think what stressed me out about it, why I didn't start watching it when it first came out, was because I was already watching so many Real Housewives. I was like, because the name of this show is different than Real Housewives, it feels stressful to like, now I watch this show too. Like at a certain point, there's only so many hours in the day, but I have consistently heard that Married to Medicine is great. And Real Housewives of Miami, which I haven't started yet.
Oh, Miami is so good. I love it. I feel that how you feel about the Below Deck franchise. Like now there's so
many. That's how I feel about Below Deck too.
And I'm like, I don't know. And I have watched seasons before where I've loved it. But then once they got rid of like Kate and Hannah, then I felt like no grounding to any of these people. Like, cause I just didn't recognize them. And then they started doing these offshoots of being on a yacht and then being on a pontoon, or I don't know where they were sailing off to, but it was like, there's so many and I don't know where to go.
The other thing is like, I really like the show. Like I love the, I love that when you watch those shows, like the escapism and the like luxury of all of it and everyone's so rich and stuff like that. And I think that that's Below Deck is supposed to sort of show that because they're on these yachts. But I used to work, I did like 4 months on a cruise ship with Second City, where I like performed on a cruise ship, and I lived in those little rooms that they're in. I mean, we had it pretty good. We didn't have to live in like those as tiny of rooms, but living in those rooms those rooms are tough. And I feel like it's a little like, I don't know. I want like the whole show to be like just fun and whatever. And it feels like they're in those little rooms having, you know, and when that, who was the woman had like weed pills or something. And then, and they're in this little room and she's like knocking on the door and you're like, ugh. It was kind of claustrophobic. And I don't know. I've just gone on such a nonsensical rant about Below Deck, but I just feel like some of it is just like, can we get to like the fun stuff?
Yeah. And it's gotten, I feel over the years more claustrophobic. So whereas I would have liked them to expand into a bigger ship, it seems as though they've decided to go on smaller ships.
Oh my God. I can't watch Below Deck Adventure, except every time I close my eyes, I hear Below Deck Adventure, right? It's on so much. And obviously, if you watch Bravo, you're always seeing those Sky Rizzy commercials, which also I always hear in my head, even though they're, I don't know if you noticed, they're going towards a new song.
No, I haven't noticed.
They are. They're doing like a remix that's like a new song. And I'm like, it's different than the Things Are Getting Clearer song.
Oh,
and it makes me furious because I'm like, this song's so good. I keep looking for it on Spotify.
Right. I was just talking about, do you remember that in the Ohio, the Empire commercial? Empire?
Yes. Yeah.
800-588-2300. Maybe it's nationwide, but I just remember
it was in New York when I was living there too, because my friend Ben, who lives in New York, pointed out to me that it's for a car service, right?
I thought it was carpet cleaning, but
I'm thinking of, there's a car service one in New York where the guy, where the car pulls out and it pulls up behind like a parked car and it can't move, but you don't notice that because you're so into the song. Anyway, but you're right. Empire was carpet. Empire Today or something.
Empire. That's all I remember is, I remember the number 800-588-2300.
Yes.
And I only remember the number because I think I mentioned on the show once and somebody was like, oh, this was a number. And then it all came flooding back to me. I still have, I went to OU my first 2 years of college.
Oh, wow.
And there was a commercial it was like Ronnie Deutsch, and she, it was a lawyer or something. And she would shout $20 and like that, that her yelling or somebody in that commercial yelling $20 like sticks out in my head so vividly.
Do you remember the jewelry commercial? We went to school with the Botniks who owned this jewelry store, and they, the sons were like in the commercial, and they were talking about one of the jokes one of them makes is he goes, or you could buy a watch for your girlfriend who's always late. Do you remember that? No. So specific.
I love it though. I mean, these things, these are the tales of our generation. The Roni commercial where it was like a parody of that song. It was like Roni, Roni.
Oh yeah. That made me excited.
Yeah.
That made me excited. I thought that was really good marketing actually. And then
I know I'm so upset about the whole legacy of it all. Now we're not getting the legacy.
Yeah. So the legacy has completely gone away.
I think so. The rumor that I've heard is that they're trying to pivot it because contract negotiations fell through. So the hope is that maybe they'd pivot it to make it like an Ultimate Girls Trip legacy.
Oh, that's
kind
a good idea. That's a good idea.
It's something. I mean, yes. I want them all, lock them up at Dorinda's house. Like,
yeah, exactly. Well, because it does feel like as much as like the most recent seasons haven't been great, it does feel like a lot to lose all of them at once. Like it just is, they, you know, Sonia and Luann, like they're so great. I, you know, I don't know.
It must have been really bad behind the scenes. Like, I don't think we'll ever fully truly know the legalities of it because there's no way they would just throw it away like the way that they did.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Vanessa, we have to pivot because I know I got to let you go, but I do, quickly want to ask you, Barb and Star, you're so funny in that. I mean, that must have been a wild experience because the movie's so hilarious, but did you kind of have an idea going into it, like the tone or like the what these characters would be?
I think Kristen asked me about doing it and she was like, we have this character we'd love. Like, it was like, I immediately was like, I love, this is really feels like home. Like, I just really thought that the idea of these kind of Midwestern women having a talking club instead of a book club was so funny. And it was just so fun. You know, Kristen was in the SNL cast with me my first two seasons. And I felt so lucky that I got to like spend all that time with her because she's so funny. And so like, I just was like immediately, like, I love this. And the Midwest, I think the reason, you know, partially that maybe she thought of me was because of, and Annie thought of me was because of like the Midwestern of it all, which didn't you feel that watching? I felt like it was so, just
so
even
much.
The way they dressed us and stuff. And, I don't know. I just thought they did. But I think so that good movie is so funny.
I think it's got to be one of the best comedies of the past 10 years. Like
I agree.
So hysterical. And it came at the perfect time of the pandemic where we all just needed something to laugh at. And
yes,
unfortunately,
totally.
I think some people didn't catch it because it was at such a weird time of release. But
right, right.
It'll just live on forever and ever because it's so funny.
It's so funny. I love it so much. I think Kristen and Annie are so funny. And yeah, I love it.
Was there a musical guest or person hosting SNL that you thought was like the most physically beautiful?
I thought Kerry Washington was really, she was so nice and I thought she was so beautiful. I also thought Sofia Vergara truly looks like a Barbie in real life. Like, she's so beautiful too. You're probably asking about men too.
No, I don't know. Well, anyone. It's because you have all these huge superstars coming in.
Yeah, just being, I just remember being like, both of them being like, they're so beautiful. And a lot of the guys, I mean, a lot of the men were like, I don't know. There's just a lot of like extremely, you know, I feel like a lot of celebrities are so attractive.
Yes. Yeah. I ask all of my guests their sexiest man alive. So if you were choosing for People Magazine, who would you choose for sexiest man alive? And then I also want to know, since your podcast is so nostalgia based, like who the guy was when you were a kid that you had on the wall, or was it like
I loved Jared Leto from My So-Called Life. I really was like obsessed with him. And,
wait, I'm going to interrupt you for a second because I just saw this clip. Rosie O'Donnell's show was like my favorite thing growing up.
Yeah.
And there was this clip I just found of Scarlett Johansson as a 13-year-old girl. And Rosie asks Scarlett, who do you have a crush on these days? Is it Leo? And she's like, no, it's Jared Leto. But Rosie thought she says Jay Leno. And it just makes me laugh so much because she's asking a 13-year-old girl like, oh, is Jay Leno your crush? You're saying Jared Leto.
Jared Leto was absolutely my crush. I love My So-Called Life so much. And 100%. In fact, I ended up going to Hawaii, but I did a make-a-wish because I had leukemia when I was a teenager, and I'm fine now. And I almost had it to meet him. But then I told my parents that I, very confident teenager, I said, I'd rather us meet when we're peers. So we went to Hawaii instead. And then I was presenting at the MTV Video Awards. And so was he. And that's where we met.
I love that.
Isn't that crazy?
I love that. And I love that at such a young age, he's going to be my peer.
Yes. Also, like, fully battling, like, just like, oh, I'm going to be fine. And I'm just going to wait till we're peers and then I'll meet him then.
It'll all work out.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's physically beautiful too. I feel like he's not aged.
Yes.
At all,
he's
too,
a very, very handsome guy. And, but God, if you watch those episodes of My So-Called Life, they still like really hold up. Like it's just such a great show. And he's so, so handsome in it, even though I think you're not really supposed to, well, I think you can root for whoever you want,
yeah.
But I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
His character is flawed as we are all characters, real and fiction.
Housewives and My So-Called Life. They're all flawed.
They're all flawed. Yeah.
The other question I ask all my guests is your favorite Mariah Carey song.
Oh my God. This is.
I'm going to ask you not to say a Christmas song because a lot of people do and I get upset.
Yeah. 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 I was just rewatching the video for Someday. I really like Someday and I really like Emotions.
I love that you said Someday. No one's ever given me the answer of Someday. And I think it's such an underrated song, which Mariah has said she didn't love it until when she was married to Nick. Nick said he kind of got her on board.
Got it. I think Someday's such a good song. And she was so like doing such a different thing. Like she was so, she was such a kind of like new sound. And also if you watch her in those videos, she's such a little cutie. Sorry. I don't mean that in a condescending way, but like, I don't know. I just feel like she's so 90s. She's always wearing like a bodysuit and kind of like jeans. I don't know. She's cool.
There's no more 90s video than the Fantasy amusement park, video. It just feels so 90s. I think it was 96 or 95.
Yeah. The other thing that I always loved was that she had, because I always had curly hair. I love that she had curly hair, but she straightened her bangs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was a choice. Yeah.
It was such a choice, but it was like, it looks great on her. I mean, she's obviously beautiful. And when I would try to straighten my bangs, not the same effect. I'm not trying to like insult myself or anything, but just didn't quite pull it off in the same way.
Well, and also you're in a little girl in Ohio and she's got like a full hair and
makeup
team.
Like in sixth grade. And I'm like, maybe straightening my bangs with a round brush, that's going to look great. And that's going to last throughout the day and not turn into like a huge ball of frizz on my forehead. But the way she did it, it's because I think that's the thing about straightening your hair is it sort of flatters your face. But it's so genius to me to like keep most of it curly and then you just have to worry about straightening your bangs. That's so smart.
Yeah. And quick too. Probably a quicker.
So quick.
Yeah. A quicker thing. I have pretty thick hair and I remember wanting like the Devon Sawa, like, you know how they part it in the middle?
Yes.
And it just didn't happen. And it was like, it's not going to happen because you have, you know, whatever. And then also in high school or whenever like the boy bands, the NSYNCs came, I tried frosted tips like from a store for one night. And then I had to buzz my hair because it looks so bad. I have dark black hair.
Because
like,
you have dark
weird.
Hair. Right. It looks better, I guess, on a lighter. But that is so funny. I feel like, I don't know for sure that my brother did this, but I feel like a lot of guys would try and do that Devon Sawa like middle part. And when they didn't have stick straight hair, it doesn't really work. You know, you got to kind of embrace your texture.
Yeah. Jonathan Taylor Thomas did it too. And his was like, his had like a little wave, I think.
Right.
So
yeah. By the way, as someone with curly hair, that was the hair that I always wanted was like, I always wanted,
what's her name in who played Bailey's girlfriend in
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Quick, Danny. That was cool. I would expect nothing less. But
previous
I always,
guest of Everything Iconic. She's Jennifer
really. I wanted her hair so badly because it was like that straight hair that would just like kind of. Ugh, she had such great hair,
and we really got fucked up with the whole curly hair thing in terms of like. Remember, even Patty Stanger, the Millionaire Matchmaker, she was so mean to curly haired women, and it just was like. That was pretty late. That was way after
the 90s.
Yeah,
you're
right. That
was
like 2010s, and she was on television telling these women they weren't going to get men if they had curly hair.
You know, I have to say, Millionaire Matchmaker, Patty was so brutal to those women.
She's my arch nemesis, Vanessa.
Really?
She doesn't know it, but yes. Because she was also brutal to gay men, too.
I don't think she works today. Like, I don't think her her brand. Of it, like, I don't think she could make a show today. I'm not trying to, you know, I know a lot of people are really grateful for the matchmaking work she's done, and I'm not trying to take away from that being very diplomatic, but like, she was so brutal, just those poor women who had to, like, I'm sure, like, sign a waiver and be like, whatever gets said to you can be on TV or whatever. And then she'd be like, your hair's curly, why are you dressed like
she hated redheads. She was like so mean to redheads. And
she would have torn me apart. She would have absolutely torn me apart. You know, and I went to middle school or something with someone who became one of her assistants in the later seasons. Like, not the girl who had like the round bangs and the mm-hmm, guy, mm-hmm. but remember there was another season where the assistants all kind of looked like they were like very polished. They were like very attractive kind of And so I grew up with one of them, and she was a child model.
I can so vividly picture those first two assistants you just mentioned. Those... Like, they're right front and center in my head.
Yeah.
I think when I first moved to LA, I was asked to like be at one of the mixers for like a gay millionaire
God.
And I remember I was out of town or something, and I got a call or an email, and I don't remember how it happened, but I was so upset that I couldn't make it to the mixer. And I look back and I'm like, thank God I didn't go.
Thank
to that
God
mixer.
You didn't make it to the mixer, because like, what if you had made it to the final three, or weren't there like a final three or a final two?
But Vanessa, it would have broke me if I would have had to watch the show and then see her saying mean things about me.
My God, it's really, she really was so brutal.
Or she would sit down the gay men and she'd be like, so who's the fudge packer? And
like, now, do you?
Like, how is this happening?
No.
Like, who's
you don't want to
fucking who? Like, she would be so vulgar about it, and it was like, they had to just sit there and be like, "Oh, it's me. Like, I'm the top or something." I was like, "Why are we?"
Yes. Patty. By the way, just to say really quickly, like, do you? I don't always keep up with 90 Day Fiancé, but I am really into Darcy and Stacey.
Yeah, so I am familiar. I haven't watched. I've seen a season of Darcy and Stacey because my boyfriend like loves it.
Okay,
Darcy's been on this show like twice. Even though I don't really watch 90 Day Fiancé, when I very first started my podcast, Darcy was on twice. And I remember her favorite movie. She told me was like Officer and a Gentleman, and I will never forget that. I don't even know why, but that sticks in my head.
I can do a Darcy, I think. And she goes,
please.
Wait, hold on. Let me try. I've never really tried it. I love Officer and Gentleman. I can't. I don't know why I offered that. But she's just like it sinks. Like I want love. I want love. And I don't know if I'll get. But I that's what I want. But I want. But you know. And I tried. And he didn't work. And it's not bad. It's okay. But okay, so it wasn't that great. I built it up a lot. But
no,
the point
I got
is,
it. I like that.
The point is, now if you watch season three of Darcy and Stacey, which who knew that? Okay, there she's going to a matchmaker now, who's actually really kind of nice. Is not like Patty, but it's so funny because in the episode, the matchmaker's like looking at the photos that Darcy. Do you follow Darcy on social media?
No, I did though. Like I
know,
unfollowed.
But anyways, the matchmaker's like, okay, so the photos that you sent me are like very heavily filtered. She's like, if someone sent you photos like this that were so filtered and then you met them and they didn't look like that, like how would you react? And I say all of this not to I'm not trying to like make fun of Darcy because I really actually feel like she's in there. She's trying her best.
She's sweet. Like, she seems like she's sweet. Yeah.
Yes, but it's so funny to have like a matchmaker be like, who's this matchmaker's like, so you're like trying to date these guys that are like 20 years younger than you, and you're using these photos, and Darcy's like, right, it's just such good
so
TV.
So what's the problem?
Yeah, she's like, okay, like it just is so.
I'm gonna have
really
to dip back in because I will always love the saga of Darcy and Jesse. Was that his name? Like that was when I was really, really into 90 Day Fiancé. And then, yeah, I followed Darcy to, she did some sort of spin-off. And then I watched that first season, which I think, was it filmed during a pandemic? I just remember her being in like the bathtub a lot.
Yeah, because Stacey got married like in the middle of the night, like in the front yard. But the thing that brought down Jesse and Darcy was the, you have to cut down a bias. You need to cut, yeah. You have to cut on the bias.
The steak. Yeah. Yes.
And then it was over. I'm not trying to laugh at them. I know it sounds like I am, but it is.
No, I'm laughing at them.
Okay. It's just like the whole whatever of it. But yeah, the first season I think of Darcy and Stacey was during a pandemic. It just.
And there was nothing going on. Like they, of course there wasn't it. Cause not only do they not normally have a ton going on, but also it was like a pandemic and it was like, wow, they really shot this show.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
With nothing.
There's a new guy that Darcy was engaged to, and now she's, you know, now she's going to Matchmaker, and I'm blanking on his name, but she just gets in with these guys that are so take advantage of her, and you just really want her to have a win. Anyway, maybe that will happen on this season of Darcy and Stacey. I know I'm not here to promote TLC.
I was just going to say, we're all going to watch Darcy and Stacey. I really did. I met her in person once too at like they did a mixer in West Hollywood with like the 90 Day people. It was right when I started my podcast. They were like, you could come and interview all of them. And one guy wore like a bulletproof vest, which was weird. It was like the weirdest thing. It was one of the, in the early seasons, he was like really popular, but he had like a bulletproof vest on at a bar in West Hollywood. And then, they were like, the people interviewing would have the, like Darcy would come and sit at your table and you'd chat with her.
Yeah.
And then they'd filter through somebody else.
You watch through the end of the first, I think it's the end of the first season, Darcy and Stacey both go to like Turkey or something. Did you see this? And they get so much plastic surgery done. And then they come back and they reveal their faces, and their faces have changed so drastically. And now they both look really different because they got like nose job, chin job, like new teeth, all this stuff done to their bodies too. And they look, it's really crazy. It's really drastic. And also I'm like, why isn't everyone watching this?
Right. It reminds me of, I'll have to watch it, but The Hills, when Heidi debuted her new face. Do you remember that back in the day?
Appointment TV.
I love decorating the house and getting furniture, but sometimes it could be overwhelming to design a space. And so luckily I'm here to tell you about a company called Cozy. Now Cozy is fantastic, a North American company that thoughtfully designs furniture made for modern living. Now Cozy strives to provide the best furniture shopping experience with elegant, super high quality products, plus fast delivery and easy assembly, which is really important to me because I do not like putting together furniture. So the easier, the better for me. Now Cozy offers beautiful, customizable sofas and sectionals that are made to adapt in time. This means customers can add seats to the sofas over time. Maybe if you're extending your family, you might want more space on the couch. Cozy also offers a great range of coffee tables, washable rugs, wall shelving, credenzas, TV stands, and accessories. So much. It's thoughtfully designed furniture made for modern living. There's an outdoor sofa and tables collection that is fantastic. It's called the Mistral. So you can choose the perfect sofa configuration for your outdoor setup. Cozy also opened its first retail space on Queen Street in Toronto to push the experience to the next level and allow customers to engage physically with the products. So transform your living space today with Cozy. Visit cozy.com, spelled C-O-Z-E-Y, to start customizing your furniture today. Again, that's Cozy, C-O-Z-E-Y.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Vanessa, I've kept you way too long. I love you, and everyone's going to watch Showtime's I Love That for you. If you haven't seen it, go binge the first season, and we need Showtime to announce the pickup immediately because I need it. It's truly so incredible. I'm not just saying that because you're here. I thought it was so the best, and it's set in Ohio, and it's you, Jennifer Lewis, Molly Shannon.
Thanks.
It's so fucking good. And then your podcast is How Did We Get Weird, which is nostalgia driven, which we love here on Everything Iconic. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Danny. This was so much fun. Really excited I got to be on your podcast. And
I'll see you in Cleveland. We'll have lunch at Heinen's.
We'll go to the prepared food section.
Vanessa, you're like telling this woman at WKYC about the Heinen's prepared food section. And it was so funny to watch because she is just like, you just keep talking about the prepared food section at Heinen's. And she's like, yeah, I love Heinen's. It goes on for like 3 minutes or something.
It was probably when I was on SNL and I was probably so tired that I was
I used to work at WKYC. I interned at the morning show there. There was a morning show called Good Company, and it was like local Cleveland morning show.
Oh my God.
And I remember like funeral home directors would like buy segments on the show. So I'd have to write questions to fill out a 10-minute segment of like these Cleveland morning anchors interviewing a funeral home director. And it's wild.
Well, anyway. That's really funny.
Vanessa, I've kept you too long. Love you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You too.
There's no turning back, no, no, it's all-